Bekevach, everybody. It's first of all an incredible schus to be back here in the Baruch Hashem home, where I feel so much part of the mishpacha. Get to that in a moment. But first of all the Torah tonight, all the chizik, all the soros. First of all, for the schus of Eliezer Fall, the Tzara Sima, who we've all been davening for, and to be big schusim, Bez Hashem is Baruch. As well, Lil Nishmas, Shir's grandmother, Margalit, Basar Fall. Hashem should have a big aliyah through the Torah, through the Chizuk. Should be a main litzur yeshra for your beautiful family. To your zoich, be dancing together, Mashiach ben Meir, Bez Hashem. But also, you know, Mishpacha, the Baruch of Mishpacha, very much wanted, and of the Shir's idea, the family's idea, together. Shari's idea? Shari's idea. Was it? Beautiful, okay, Shari's idea. To have a Shir, specifically, for Chaya Sarah. And we just finished Parshas Vayera today. By Mincha already, we laid Chaya Sarah, so already on to Chaya Sarah, already looking forward to Chaya Sarah. Obviously, his next Shabbos Kodesh. And the entire Mishpacha, Shira and Shari and Tvor Roni and everybody is going to be Bez Hashem Yisparach in Chevron for Chaya Sarah. I don't know how many of you have been Zocha to be in Chevron for Chaya Sarah. I've been Zocha many times, and it's they are highlights of my life. Emes, you can't even understand. If you haven't been there, you can't understand what it is to be standing in the Maros Achpelah, Shabbos morning, and laning about the purchase of Maros Achpelah. You know, to live Yiddishkeit in such a way. Remember the last time I was there, which was already a few years ago. Last time I was there, you'll tell me exactly what year, you can figure it out. But remember, I'm standing there and. And had Kayin, and their imam is just laning about the parts of Maros Achpelah. I started crying. You can't not. It's incredible. You're standing there. You're in there. But specifically, the Baruch Hu obviously feel very, very deep kesher, not just because I've been zoicha to be there many times for Chayesara, but Baruch Shasa Nisim. We have to constantly give Akar Satov to the Rebbein Shalom for the incredible Nes. The Rebbein Shalom brought to Shira's brother, to Eliyahu, that Eliyahu was, how many years ago? What year was it? 2016. So already 2015, okay. 7 years ago, I think it was the first time the Mishpacha went for Chaya Sarah, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right? I don't know. But, Lemais, am I wrong? Am I right? Roni, somebody help me here.
Second time.
Okay, we're getting there, Whatever it was.
Third time.
So, it was only a little bit before Shabbos, and Eliyahu was standing outside of Maros Achpelah in the kikar over there outside of Maros Achpelah, and an Arab terrorist, a sniper, shot and hit Eli and another boy as well. And they were obviously rushed to the hospital. And Baruch Hashem, Nisim, Mamish Nisim Gluim, that Eliyahu was totally okay and totally fine. And it could have been mamish, you know, just literally millimeters over, and we wouldn't be having such a discussion. It was nisim gluyim. A lot of it doesn't even make any sense. You know, there was a bullet that entered into his leg, and there was no exit hole. Yet they never found the bullet. You know, think about that. It doesn't even make any sense. Because it was nisim. And the Eivishter took care of him. And I'll never forget the following image. You know, at the time, This is before you met Eliyahu even. You didn't even know him at the time. And at the time Eliyahu would come, I give every Thursday night for men in my house a shir. And Eliyahu would never miss a shir. He was there every Thursday night together with some of his chevros. It was a very special chevro. And again he was shot, it was an hour before Shabbos, Chayesara, and he flew back. Was it Sunday night already or Monday night? What night did he fly back? Sunday night? I think Sunday night already. You remember? Sunday night, right? Sunday night he flew back. I remember it was Sunday night. Flew back and was back here Monday. And remember, I don't think I came Monday yet. I think it was Tuesday the first time I came. He was sitting on the couch right over here. And came to spend time with him. And it was incredible just to see him and see such a nice, see such a miracle. But again, he was obviously injured badly and still not so mobile. And Thursday night, we had Shir. Before Shir, a bunch of the chevers over. Before we started learning. So we're talking, and we were talking, of course, about what happened to Eliyahu, to Eli. And we're talking about an incredible miracle, myself and his chevra, right before shiur begins. I was about to start shiur, and came limping into the room, Eliyahu, into my, this was in my old house. And it was, I believe, it was the first place he left the house to go. And he said, he made his father drive him. And he said, I'm not going to miss shiur. How do I go every Thursday night to shiur? I'm not going to miss shiur. And he came to shiur, and we got him like this big comfortable seat and to sit and keep his leg up, whatever it was. And he was by shiur right away. It was less than a week after. It was Thursday night after. But that was his Mesiras Nefesh. That was his Mesiras Nefesh. And I'll never forget being back the next Chayesar, I was there with him. The year that this happened, I wasn't in Chevron Chayesar, but the next Chayesar, I was there. My family also is deeply connected to Chevron and to Chayesar. My grandmother, besides for the couple of years of COVID, my grandmother's been for the last like 25 years. She hasn't missed a year. Ever since I was learning in Eretz Yisrael. Can I know her? She'll be Zoicha many, many more. She's going to be there this year. You'll see her there. Bez Hashem. She's there already. In Eretz Yisrael. But the next year, exactly a year later, I was there with Eliyahu. He went like the day before with a group and said the bracha. If you're in a makom where a miracle happened to you, you make a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace in that makom. So he made the bracha already the day before or 2 days before. But at Friday already, literally the same time a year later, a little bit before Shabbos, in the exact makom where it happened, I was standing there with him. And I'll never forget the moment. It was just such a special moment to be able to give Akar Satov to the Rabbeinu Shalom. A miracle that we could say that this mishpacha has a miracle that they give Akar Satov to the Rabbeinu Shalom constantly, but specifically this time of the year when it happened. So all the schusim, it's just, how can you not give a shir and learn Torah in your bias to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for such a miracle, Mirat Hashem, should continued. Only good things to talk about for the entire mishpacha, Bez Hashem, for only simcha and bracha for the entire Baruch mishpacha. So it's incredible that if you look at Chayesar, you look at the parasha, the first 20 psukim, you open up the entire beginning of the parasha, is just discussing the purchase of Maariv HaMakpelah. And I was thinking about it. Is there anywhere else that we find in all of Tanakh such a discussion of the purchase of a makom, the acquisition of a makom? I don't know anywhere else in Tanakh where you have that there's so many psukim, pasuk after pasuk, every little minute detail between the discussion between Avram and Ephron, back and forth, to be koine the burial plot of Maariv HaMakpelah, to acquire Chevron l'dorei doros. It must be that there's a chashivas of this makom. It must be that the Torah is trying to tell us how chashiv Chevron is, how important Chevron is in our life. We all, obviously, Yushalayim Er HaKodesh, we all spend so much time in Yushalayim by the Kaisel and by other makomas in Yushalayim, and we're inspired to daven by the Kaisel. It's so sad to me that I talk to people that go to visit Eretz Yisrael, and they'll go for a week, for 2 weeks, and they didn't go to Chevron. I said, really? You went there so you didn't go to visit your parents? Like, think about it. Every Shemon Esrei, how do we start? Elokeinu, Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yeah. You have Yidin that will spend, I don't know how much money, how much time, to travel to Europe, to go to every tzaddik they could imagine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's beautiful. Kibbutz tzaddikim are all precious. But yes, and when was the last time we were in Chevron? By Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'm pretty sure all those other tzaddikim, where would they go? To Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You know what the Zohar tells us? The Zohar tells us, Maariv HaMakpelah, by the Maariv HaMakpelah, is the opening to Gan Eden. You're there, you feel it. You feel it. Many Svarim bring down, Naim El Melech, the Megala Mukos, and others. And now's not the time to get into all the depth, but trust me. When we daven, so everybody knows when you daven, so the tefillahs go up by Har HaBayis, right? And that's where they enter up to Shemayim, to Rabbeinu Shalom. But they don't go straight there. They first go to Chevron. They first go to Chevron. A little ambiance, maybe, no? I don't know. Get some candles. Love Malk. I don't know. So they first go to Chevron, and they're filtered through all the tefillahs we daven. They were masakim by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So they have to first go there, and they're filtered through the Kedusha and the Tzchusim and all these Yaakov and Sarah and Rivka and Leah. And then they go to Har HaBayis. They first go there. What an incredible makom. And that's why the Bunchim wanted that pasuk. We spend so many psukim, Chayesara, reminding us how kaddish this is. The Torah wouldn't use so many psukim if it wasn't that kaddish, that holy, that special. So in the Tver Shlomo, the Radomsker says, not only our tefillos, but all our ma'asim tovim, our learning, all of that are schusim for us to go up to Shemayim, and Hashem stores it for us, right? To give us Olam Haba, give us. But it, first is all filtered through Maaseh Hachpelah. All filtered through Chevron, the Kedusha of Chevron. But I want to talk about something else tonight. That's just to understand how Kaddish Chevron is and why maybe this Mishpacha, this beautiful Mishpacha, is so connected to Chevron. And this Chusim, listen, the Shmira that Chevron had on Eliyahu. Something else we learned from Chevron that's very precious, and precious to every one of you here, and myself and all of us, that we learn from Chevron, and there's a lot we have to learn. Because if you open up, we have a Masechtos Kedushin. The Masechta of Gemara that deals with marriage, it's called Masechtos Kedushin. I'm assuming most of you never learned Kedushin. I don't expect you that you have. If you have, very nice. But so I'll share with you the opening Gemara of Masechtos Kedushin. The opening Gemara of Masechtos Kedushin tells us and talks about the process of getting engaged. And when I'm talking about getting engaged, I'm not talking about what we call engagement. I'm not talking about when a young man proposes to a young woman and asks, will you marry me, and slips a chveshna, gives her a diamond ring. All of that is nice minhagim that have somewhat been borrowed from the Umas Ha'olam, perhaps. All of that is not halachic on any level. It's a beautiful commitment, and it's a first stage that one must go through to lead towards marriage. But the first halachic step in getting married is called Kedushin. Kedushin is halachic engagement. That happens now, Bizman Hazeh. It used to happen in times of Gemara, actually a year before you would get married. Now that all happens underneath the chuppah, when a young man, a chassan, will take a ring. That's the minhag, is to use a ring now. And say Hariyama Kadesh Libazuk Asmaish Visral in front of two witnesses, and put it on the hand of the finger of a young woman. And then they're halachically engaged. By the way, if we stopped the chuppah there, if we didn't do anything more, they'd only be engaged. They wouldn't be able to live together yet. There's also then Nisuin, that marriage. The marriage is the Sheva Brachos being under the chuppah. There's two steps to marriage halachically. It's important just to know. Bez Hashem, every one of you is, some of us already have. Gonna go through this. You should know what you're doing. You don't just, you know, show up to your wedding and ashkayach, I'm so excited to be married, and just you go through the steps. You should know what's going on. So that process, that first step of that bond of kedushin, of halachic engagement, the Mishnah tells us could actually be done through kesef, shtar, or bia, through money, or here we use a ring which has a value of money, through a document. We don't do that anymore, or even a couple. Being intimate with each other, that also is not done anymore. The one way we do Kedushin is that ring being slipped on the finger of a young woman, and which is what we call Shavah Kesef, the value of money. So it's incredible. The first Gemara discusses, where's the source of that? Where do we learn that from? How do I know that the way that every one of you is going to be married, the first step in marriage, is through this ring being put on your finger by your chassan? Where do we get that from? So the Gemara learns it from, the first Gemara learns it from Kicha Kicha Mistei Afron, a famous line, Kicha Kicha Mistei Afron, which means sometimes we learn halachas when words are very similar in two different places. And we can learn, it's called Gzeres Shava, you learn from one place to another. So the Pasuk says by marriage, the Pasuk that deals with marriage, and the Pasuk says, Ki Yikach Ish Es Isha, when a man will take a woman in marriage, he uses the word Kach Kicha, taking. And when Avram purchased the Maaseh Hachpelah in Parshas Chayesara, it says, Hasodeh kach mimeni, the same word. So Gemara learns, just like the Maaseh Hachpelah was purchased through money, through to marriage occurs through a monetary change of hands, and basically our ring that's given over to the woman is that money that's exchanged to allow that first step in marriage to happen. Kicha kicha mistefa. That's the Gemara. That's the Gzer Shava. So we have to understand. As the Medrash says, Ma'in Yishmita is Rasina. I mean, what does that have to do with anything? Yes, it's a beautiful textual comparison, but ultimately, what does the purchase of Marzach Pela, Chevron, what does that have to do with engagement, with marriage, with dating? What meaning? I would have thought Pum Fakered, as I said. I would have thought just the opposite. What was the purchase of Marzach Pela for? For the burial of Sarah. That's pretty morbid. To learn about marriage from there. To learn about the start of marriage from there. That's the end. Like, that's where I want to learn about my marriage from? From the burial plot? Like, really? Why is that the source? What is there to learn? That's the textual idea in the Gemara, yes, but there must be a philosophical, deeper approach. There must be more to learn from this. And I believe, if we analyze this, there's so many different lessons to learn about marriage, what marriage should be, and what the dating process should be for each and every one of us. Because you can only be married once you go first through that dating process. And clearly the dating process and what we're looking for has a lot to do with what marriage itself should be. So they really go hand in hand in a very deep, special way. And sometimes I've found over the years, just discussing with so many young men and young women, that we often have our priorities in very wrong places. And when we're dating, we're looking for things that really will have nothing to do with how beautiful our marriage should be or not. And we put our priorities in the wrong places because we're told that's what should be. And sometimes it's like more of a business acquisition than finding a soulmate. That's not what it should be. And we're going to learn this. And we're going to discuss and see if you understand more about what marriage should be, you understand more about what the dating process should be. If we understand what, seemingly, if you understand and what the Torah is teaching us, and maybe that's the opening Gemara and Kedushin, if you understand this Parsha of Chayesorah, if you understand the deep acquisition of the Marzach Pela, you'll understand the depth of marriage on some level. That's what we're learning. So let's understand. Various lessons we can learn from this. First of all, there's a Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Gimel. It tells us that place, Chevron was also Kiryat Arba. Kiryat Arba and Chevron is really one makom in the Torah. Now we have two different cities that are right next to each other, Kiryat Arba and Chevron, but the whole area is really Kiryat Arba. Why is it called Kiryat Arba? And it was called Kiryat Arba already. Why? So one of the reasons is because the four couples that are destined to be buried there, right? First, Adam and Chava are buried there, then Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. We know Rachel's by herself and Kevin Rachel. Another discussion for another time. We missed that already. That was last Shabbos. Was Kevin Rachel. Was Rachel Menuz Yerzeit. Okay, we'll discuss another time. So we see from here that this Makom was really already set aside as Marzach Pela. In other words, it was really already destined to be the makom for Sarah to be buried in. It was already called out. And Avram Avinu, when he acquired this makom from Ephron, it wasn't in a certain sense a new acquisition. It was really just reacquiring what was always his the whole time. It was supposed to be his. It was already called out to be his. So too we have to believe every single shidduch. And this is a big idea just to have with us. An emunah that could go so strong in our dating, most importantly, but also in our marriage. You see, there's a famous Gemara in Sota as well. That arbam yom kodem shavlad nolad. 40 days before a person is born. Machrizin, it's announced. Bas ploni leploni. Already before a man comes into existence, it's already announced, your shidduch is going to be such and such. What does that tell us? It tells us that the shidduch is there, it's in the world. The Rabbeinu Sholem has given each and every one of us a beautiful shidduch. Yes, it's true, sometimes the process of finding that shidduch takes a long time. Sometimes it's full of trials and tribulations. Sometimes has its nisyonos, has its challenges. But it's there. And that alone, therefore, when you find that shidduch, it's not a new acquisition, something that was there and destined the whole time. Similar to the purchase of Maris Pela. It's all one. But that alone is tremendous chizik. To know my shidduch is there. My shidduch is waiting for me. And in marriage as well. Sometimes, you know what? Not just in the dating process. Sometimes marriage has its trials and tribulations. And anyone who tells you differently is just lying to you. There are ups and downs. It's not easy to share life in such a strong way with someone else by your side. You come in with different aspirations and different ways of life, and there's a lot of transitioning, a lot of growing together, and those growing pains hopefully build something very special. But it's important to have in mind also the entire time, no, this is my shidduch that Hashem had for me, and it's my avodah to work through it and to fix and to be metaken and to be mashlim and to complete it in a beautiful way. That machshava is a very important machshava through the process. That emuna, that belief that I carry with me, my shidduch is there. The Rebbeinu Nishlam has made me a shidduch, and I just have to find it. I just have to find it. It's yisodistik. The emuna that we must have through dating and in marriage. And I always felt as well that might be the other lesson. I mean, the other way to come to this lesson. Why was this learned through a purchase of a burial plot? Lo aleinu, we shouldn't know from it, but when a person does need to deal with losing a loved one, losing a family member, losing a close friend, when a person has to deal with that, it's very, very difficult. And tears should be shed and can be shed. But when you have emunah, when you have emunah and you know the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, and you know the Ribbono Shel Olam is by your side, and the Ribbono Shel Olam loves you, and the Ribbono Shel Olam knows what's best for the global picture, even if in the moment, in my vacuum view of life, it doesn't seem so great, and I could be, and I'm supposed to live in that way, and it could be sad for me, but ultimately when I have that emunah, I could get through anything. When I have that emunah, I could be okay. When I have that emunah, right? Without it, I don't understand. I don't even know how somebody who doesn't have emunah, who somebody in the Umas Olam, loses someone who's a loved one, who's close to them, and moves on. Because if someone that's really close to you, someone they really love, I manage to crawl into a corner, into a ball, and cry for the rest of my life. Because there is no reason, there is no plan, there is no understanding, it's just brokenness. But when I have emunah, yes, of course I miss that person. And yes, of course I'd love to be with them physically. But I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows better, Ribbono Shel Olam has a big picture, Ribbono Shel Olam has a plan. I'm able to be makabel. I'm able also to believe in so much more to life. I have a emunah that there's a neshama, and this is an olam haba, and there's a next world, and this is just this world, which I can't see that person physically, but I can interact even spiritually on some level. There's so much to that. When you say baruch dayan emes, that emunah goes so far. And maybe the Eibishter is telling us, so too has to be in dating. So too has to be in marriage. And that's exactly where we learn it from. From that exact place, kicha kicha misteafron, because it's the same emunah. Let's have that emunah as we go through the process. Let's have that emunah in our marriages as well. When you have that emunah, you can get through anything. But it's specific, perhaps, to the marriage, specific, perhaps, to dating. That's why we're learning it from there. You never know. You never know. Because Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. I'll tell you a story. The story I was. Some of you I might have shared this story with before, but the story has also happened Chaye Sara years ago. It didn't happen in Hebron, it happened right here in Cedars. At least some of the details of it. The story goes back probably, I don't know, maybe about 15 years ago. I have a Talmud, and at the time he was dating. And he was set up with a young woman, and they went out, and it was going nicely. They went on, I think, 4 or 5 dates, whatever it was exactly, and it was going very nicely. And she ended it. And he called me on a Thursday night. It was Thursday night of Chaye Sara, and he was broken. He was crying to me on the phone. He was so sad. And I gave him all the words of chizik you could imagine. We don't have to, you know. But he really, you know, usually you have a good feel for this. He was really taken aback because he thought it was going well. It was really like out of nowhere in his eyes. Okay, it was only 5 dates, whatever it was. But Lamaisa, to him, he saw it had promise. He believed it had promise. And he was sad. He was sad that she ended it. That Friday night, I go to shul. I daven in the shtibul over here, by Rabbi Spiegel, by the Rebbe, the Astrof Kalshin Rebbe, and he gets up in shul, and he shares the following Torah. That in Chayisara, which is the parasha of Shiduchim, and usually spoken Chayisara about Shiduchim before, and dating before, usually focusing on the whole story of Eliezer finding a wife for Yitzchak. That's the parasha of Shiduchim, right? Here we're focusing mamish from the Yisod of Halacha of the Gemara, which is from the beginning of the parasha, the parasha of the Maras Achpela. But Eliezer, when he goes to find the wife from Yitzchak, this is what he says. He says, Eliezer davens Hashem, im itzliach darcho olo, if I'll be successful or not. That's the lashon in the pasuk. Im itzliach, if I'll be successful or not. And the Rebbe asks, why are the words olo significant? Every letter in the Torah is chashiv. There are halachas we learn from an extra letter, from a missing letter, which we'll talk about a little bit in a few minutes. So imagine, Father, I want to see if I'll be successful or not. Are the words or not important? I mean, think about it. Obviously, if you say, I want to see if I'm going to be successful, the other possibility is, or not. I don't have to say those words. Why are those words in the Torah? Why did Eliezer say those words? He should say, I want to see if I'm matzliach. Darko. And obviously, the opposite is, or not. So the Rebbe said so beautifully. He said, when it comes to shiduchim, when it comes to dating, if you're matzliach and you date and it goes well and you get engaged, mazel tov, beautiful, it's great. Olo, if not, also baruch Hashem mazel tov. Because that's the Rabbeinu Shalom saying to you, this wasn't the right person for you. This wasn't your basheret. This wasn't who I was machriz, who I announced 40 days before the Vlad, the bas ploni l'ploni. You thought so because there were some connections, but this wasn't. And that too is a simcha. The olo is also chashiv. That's what the Rebbe said. And mamish, that was all the chizik I was giving this young man without the Torah, right? That was everything I was telling him on the phone on Thursday night, trust me. And I hear this is the Torah, the first Torah here on Shabbos, and I'm like blown away. And I'm thinking to myself, well, Shabbos, I can't wait till after Shabbos to call up this young man and give him over this Torah, to share with him this Torah. And he knew the Rebbe as well, and I called him on Matzah Shabbos, and I said to him, I don't want to say his name, whatever it is. I said to him, you know, I have to share this Torah, mamish. And he took a lot of chizik from it. You know what ended up happening? Why did that girl end it? He was a smart, withed guy. You usually have a good pulse on this, you know? What happened? You know what happened? She was dating him, and it was going well from her side also. But the whole time, she's thinking, this guy is perfect for my best friend. This guy is that's the whole time. So every day went well, but she like kept thinking to herself, it's great and nice, and maybe it could continue, but he's perfect for my bed. And she couldn't go on, imagine? And after, so she ended it to set him up with her best friend. And she called Representative Berkowitz, Shadchan Neri Sroll, or C. Berkowitz's wife, and said, listen, I just dated this guy. I'm telling you, you have to set him up with this young woman. And Kachave, she set him up with this young woman, and today they're happily married with Kanai and Hora, many kids. So, when he calls me Thursday night crying to me, all upset and all sad, that was the biggest brach in the world, right? That led to his bashert. That led to his simcha. Who are we to know anything? Hashem is machriz bas ploni l'ploni. And we have to have that amuna. And that's the lesson, that's the first lesson that we learn from Maris Achpela, which it's also was destined from Hashem already to be this place for Sarah. And that's how we deal with Lo Aleinu when we have to go through difficult times and the worst of times, that the Avram was able to deal with it. But that's what we're learning in Shiduchim and in marriage, to have that amuna, that have that amuna in our dating, to have that amuna in our marriages, to have that amuna in our lives. But there's more to learn. There's more to learn about what type of way to date, what to look for today in dating, what type of marriage we all want. You know, the whole entire deal, all these psukim, there's this highlighting, this discussion between Avram and Ephron. So it's like really, in a certain sense, a battle between Avram and Ephron. Ephron, Svarim bring down, the Medrash says it explicitly in Bereishis Rabbah, Ephron had an ayin ra. Right? Well, look at Ephron. Ephron, he talks a big talk, He says, between Beni and Beincha, Mahi, you could take it, take the lamb. But ultimately, he wanted, his eye was on the money. He took this tremendous amount of money, Arba Mea Shekel, over La Socher, 400 silver coins, like Gevaldik coins. And Ayin Ra means, you have to understand, Ayin Ra means it's a certain midah. It's not, Ayin Ra, we're not talking in the world of Shemir Sanayim, of not looking at things you're not supposed to be looking at, or inappropriate images. That's not what Ayin Ra we're talking about here in Afra. And Ayin Ra is a person, Lo Aleinu, who's always jealous, always looking around at others, never comfortable with themselves, always wanting more, begashmias, never having enough. That was Ephron. In fact, if you look in the pasuk, Ephron is written bechaser. It's written without a vav. Ayin pei resh nun. And I said, every letter is, it should be with a vav. Why is it without a vav? Because every letter is chashav in the Torah. Because if you take Ephron without a vav, it's exactly gematria, 400. Exactly gematria, ayin ra. He had a bad eye. Ephron was ayin ra. Avram, open up a Perkei Avos in the fifth parak, Mishnah Chav Beis or Chav Gimel, depending on which one you open up, and you'll see one of the midas of Avram was what? Ayin tov. A midah of Avram was to have an ayin tov, to have a good eye, to not look around at others, to not be jealous of others. Histapkus. I'm satiated with what I have. Whatever it's him, I'll give up all the money in the world. I don't need money. I don't want money. I don't care about money. I want Kedusha. I want my family to be happy. I'm taking care of my Sarah. I'm not looking outside. I don't need. The Rambam Perush Mishnah says exactly on that Mishnah of us. That's how I explained what an Ayin Tov is. Because the Mishnah just says good eye. What is this good eye? The good eye is that understanding that I'm not a jealous person. I'm besimcha v'stapkus, I'm ezu asher sameach b'chelko. I'm happy with who I am. That's why it was. How many coins did we say were exchanged? 400, which is gematria ayin ra, to show that was the problem that Ephron, give that to Ephron, you have the 400, you have the ayin ra. I'm ayin tov. The void of life is to have that. You know, it's interesting. If you look at that, Saras HaDibros clearly are supposed to be fundamental foundations of our life. Saras HaDibros. We start with Anoichi, we start with Amuna. And what do we get to? An Achron Achron Chaviv, perhaps you could say. You know, sometimes you work, save the best for last. What's the final of that Saras HaDibros? Lo Sachmor. Not to covet, not to be jealous. To be jealous of others, to have an ayin tov, not to have an ayin ra. This is an incredible Ibn Ezra. You have to learn inside. I don't have it here right now, but trust me on it and look inside. The Ibn Ezra asks, you might have learned this before, it's such a beautiful Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra asks, Lo Sachmod? Yes, that's beautiful and that's awesome, but how could God command that of me? Meaning, my feelings of jealousy or not, it's an emotion. It's a feeling. So Hashem could tell me, okay, that you should dress in a certain way. That's practical. I could dress mitzvahs or I cannot dress mitzvahs. Hashem could tell me, daven every day. Either I'll daven or I won't daven. My emotions, my thoughts, something I could say, I don't want to be jealous, but I just am. Like, how could that be a commandment? What does that even mean? It's above our pay grade in a certain sense. It's like, that's not, how does God obligate an emotion, basically. So he says so beautifully. He says, and you have to understand what chemda is, real, sincere jealousy, which is like coveting, right? We always see that's the English word often in like the art world, covet, to covet something. So he explains, you only covet something. You only deeply desire something. You only have jealousy when you think it's possible for you to attain that. When you know it's out of your ability to ever have it. So yeah, you might dream about it once in a while, but it's not a real, that's not chemda, that's not jealousy, that's not coveting something, right? So maybe you bought a lottery ticket the other night to win the Powerball, and it would have been nice. Although sometimes I think it wouldn't have been nice. You know what I'm saying? Because do you really want like the pressure of $1 billion? And you're thinking, yeah, of course I do, but do you really? You know what type of responsibility that is? No, no, sir. Like, I didn't buy it. The last one, I don't think I bought one. I just didn't get to it. I didn't realize it. But one of these, when it was big, I bought one for one of them. I never even looked at it. I don't know. But at La Mesa, I mean, I clearly didn't win. But then after I bought it, I was thinking, like, do I really want to win that? Like, Shkoyach, it will be much easier and nice to have money and be able to help a lot of people and do good things for people. And always dream of an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. It's the one thing I'd love to have. But La Mesa, like, that type of money, you have to realize, Ashiras, wealth, is a much bigger nisayon than not having that. What did you do with that wealth? How did you help people? How much did you help people? It's a big responsibility. Change is life-changing. I mean, you could do amazing things with it, but do we do enough? That type of money. But anyways, okay, fine. Yeah, it would be nice, Lamaisa. Like, maybe I'm convincing myself, right? But you don't really covet that. Because you know it's one in a gazillion, right? You'd like this very little chance that you're going to ever attain that. Ibn Ezra gives a few examples. He says a person doesn't covet, doesn't have chemda to fly. You might like dream about it once in a while, be cool, but you're not going to fly. Okay, now they have jetpacks, I don't know. You're not flying anywhere. He says a simpleton doesn't covet to marry a princess because they know it's impossible. Might covet to marry a beautiful woman, a nice woman, or whatever, but a princess? You're not marrying a princess. Who are you? You know, Aladdin is a movie. It doesn't happen like that, right? It's not. So you don't covet something you know is out of your ability. So the Ibn Ezra explains, if we really had emunah and believed and knew that the Eibishter is giving us everything that we need and best for us, what I have in my life is best for Aryeh Cohen. And that's how I can live my best life. And Hashem's going to take care of me and give me all of that. So what Yenim, what somebody else has, is completely out, it's unattainable. It's out of my realm of possibility. So I wouldn't covet it. In other words, what he explains is, you know what the Chiyuv Lo Sachman is? Work on your Emunah. Work on your Emunah, believing Hashem gives you everything you need and should want. And anything outside of that is out of your ability to attain. And then you'll have the mida that Hashem wants from us. That's Ayin Tov. That's Ayin Tov. And Yaakov had this as well. Yaakov says, right? Esav says, Yesh li rav, I have a lot. When you have a lot, it means I want more. Yaakov says, Yesh li kol, I have everything. When you feel you have everything, you have mida stavkus. And you know what you have through that? I'll just tell you a little secret. Then you have simcha in your life. Because we're all lacking of simcha is because you think you're lacking. But yesh li kol. But you say you're sitting here, he's like, but I'm single. I'm not married yet. I'm not yesh li kol. No, but right now you're yesh li kol because this is what the Eibishter wants for you right now. Right now the Eibishter feels it's more time for you to work on yourself as an individual. And that shidduch for you is already the machris. It's there. You got to believe it. But yesh li kol for right now. You could live like that. You could live like that. But the Yaakov had this. You know what? How many years did Yaakov live? I don't know how many years Yaakov lived. Ah, very good. 147. Exactly gematria, Ayin Tov. He says, Yesh li kol. And Avram, who the Mishnah says, Ayin Tov, he's benched with kol, with everything, because Yesh li kol is that Ayin Tov. It's all one. You know, I think you need this midah more than ever at this stage of life. It's interesting, you know, as we're growing up and we're younger and we're living as young children and teenagers. I think Baruch Hashem, although some of us, sometimes you can look around a little bit, but there's a certain sense of being content because you're living under your parents' home. You know you have whatever they could give you. And it's like at that stage when we start to move out of that is when we start to, a little bit more so, be looking around at others and realize I can start building my own life. And then I want my life to be in a certain way. And then we're dating and we hear about other people dating and other people who Baruch Hashem a little bit had some mazel from the Eibishter a little bit earlier, and it's so easy to look around. And then while you're dating, and you're dating somebody, and it's going nicely, but it's so easy to look around and think, maybe there's somebody else out there. I just heard a new phrase from one of my daughters. I never heard this before. I've heard of FOMO. FOMO, we all know FOMO. I never heard of FOBO before. You guys know FOBO? You heard of this? No? Nobody? Who, raise your hand if you ever heard this phrase. I heard it for the first time this week from one of my daughters. FOBO, fear of better out there. We all have, you know, I don't know. I know that that's something that's hard. Maybe harder than FOMO, you know? And when we're dating, there's that. There's that fear. I'm dating, it's good, but like maybe there's something better out there. Look at what we have. And all of that is having an ayin ra, because you're looking out there and you're worrying about the outside. Just focus on what you have, and focus on you, and focus on who you're dating, and focus on making the most of that. And you might find something very special that was machris for you. And you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Everybody's time length in that is different. Sometimes relationships take time to form. Friendships take time to form. Think about your best of friends. Nobody was best friends overnight. You might have clicked and had a little connection. Sometimes those people, you know, you go to camp, and camp is always a time when it's easier to build relationships because you're living with people, right? So like in camp, in like a week, you could feel like best friends with someone. But sometimes those people, you know, after two more weeks, you'll never speak to them again in your life because you weren't really compatible. And it was just like, based on the situation, it worked, and there was an excitement, and there were certain things that connected. But ultimately, it wasn't a deep relationship. Deep relationships take time to work on, to develop. And sometimes also in dating, you know, everyone we want so quickly, and if in 4 weeks I'm not head over heels for somebody, it's like, oh, I got to move on, because there must be someone better out there. Relationships take time. Maybe that's as well. This whole acquisition of Arsach Pelo was back and forth and took a little bit of time. 20 pesukim back and forth. Kicha kicha misteafron. Sometimes it takes a little time. It takes a little work. That's okay as well. You're trying to find your best friend. Best friend takes time to develop. It's okay that you date someone for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. And I scream at me. I'm not that yeshivish in this way. You know, no, mamish, you know, I feel like this is the biggest decision of your life and the most important relationship in your life. And you have to know in 2 months and get engaged. Okay, some people do, and I'm not saying it doesn't work for some people, but everyone's personality is different, and if it takes 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, okay, there's a limit, obviously. I don't know, everyone's limit is also different depending on who you are, and you have to know your personality. But that's okay if it's going nicely and you're developing and you're growing. Something beautiful. This is another yesod, what the essence should be in dating and in marriage that we learned from the Arsach Pelo. There's a lot of different chesed out there, right? A lot of Baruch Hashem, people do a lot of chesed. We live in incredible communities with incredible Mikam Chai Yisrael. It's incredible the chesed that's done. Really, it's... Can't imagine. It was the other night last week with somebody who was just had in a hospital for a few days, and Baruch Hashem, he's out of the hospital, and he's telling me, he's like, you don't understand the chesed, the community we live in, how incredible it is. It's beautiful, it's wonderful. What's the highest level of chesed? Called chesed shel emes. Because sometimes there are people... Sometimes there are people who give, but they're giving because they want their name on a building. Or they're giving because they want someone to do a favor back for them. And they have all different types of ulterior motives. Ultimate, highest level of chesed, I'm just giving because I want to give. I'm giving because I want to help you. I'm not looking for anything in return. And we know that's called chesed shel emes. And the highest level, what's the foundation, chesed shel emes, is often connected to dealing with someone lo aleinu who passes away. It's chesed shel emes. The person's part of chevra kedisha and the likes. Because when someone passes away, obviously, that person can't do anything back for you. And clearly, I'm just giving and giving without looking for anything in return, without looking even any honor or respect in return. The person moved on to the next world. Chesed shel emes. So maybe that we learn from there also to marriage. Why? On two levels. First of all, that should be in your dating process. The most important thing you're looking for, after being compatible and finding someone who will be your best friend, are midos. There's no question. That we also learned from Eliezer looking for Rivka, who would give him to drink and the camels to drink. We all know that. But we're looking for somebody, your husband, your husband's wife, should just be giving people who just want to give and give and give without looking for anything in return. That's the type of person. You want to know what you're looking for. Way more important than all the hashkafa in the world, and way more important than ever, a lot of other things on our list, are the midos. Someone that's a baal chesed. Never stop. That's what's going to make an incredible husband. That's what's going to make an incredible father one day. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you a little secret, and you know, you quote me on this. You're not going to know the difference if your husband learns 3 hours or 4 hours. Halavai, you should all have husbands who are kovei yitim Torah, and Talmud Torah kenegad kulam, and Torah should be a part of your house in the deepest of ways, in a very beautiful way. You'll know the difference whether your husband's a baal chesed or not, whether he puts you above everybody else, whether he treats you like a princess always, and whether he takes care of his kids and not running out to do a million other things. Whether he's that type of person, you'll feel the difference, and it's going to be a different life. Trust me. You want a house of shalom bayis? You want a house of simcha? You're finding someone who's the biggest giving person you've ever met. And that too, maybe, is what we're learning from Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. Because that's the act Avram's doing now for Sarah, Chesed Shal Emes. Avram's doing for Sarah, Chesed Shal Emes. That's where I want to learn about marriage from. And that should be what you're looking for when you're dating. But that should be what your marriage is all about. I always want to have this chus to sit down with a chassid and kallah before their marriage. One of the things they told me is that marriage is not giving and taking. Marriage is giving and giving. By default, you're also taking. Because obviously your spouse should always want to be looking to give to you. Each should, but the agenda, the focus is just giving and giving to each other. Never stopping to give. Kicha kicha mistera from chesed shel emes. That's who we learned from here. Everything to do with dating, everything to do with marriage. From right here, the emunah, the ayin tov, the not looking around, the chesed. We'll end with one more lesson. And I don't know if it's a lesson, more I'll just give this one more. I'll give this idea, this is a little bit of a famous idea that we learned from Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. This will be more of a bracha to each and every one of you. Because I don't know if you could look for this. I don't know if you could date for this. You just eventually have to feel it. And I hope you do. And that is that by the end of the whole deal between Avram and Ephron, by the end of the whole thing, by the end of the purchase of Marzach Pela, both Avram and Ephron walked away thinking they got the best deal in the world. That's how they walked away. Avram just purchased Marzach Pela, as we said before from the Zohar, Chevron, the gateway to Gan Eden, the place where all tefillos, Ma'asim Tovim and tefillah is filtered through on the way to Shemayim, Chevron, Chiber, the place that could attach us to Avinu Shebashemayim, definitely next to Yerushalayim, the holiest city in the world. To him, priceless for 400 silver coins. Priceless, I just got the greatest deal in the world. Ephron, with his iron raw, this cave, been in Chevron. We've all been in Chevron. I hope we've all been in Chevron. It's not the nicest of places. Even till today, it's like interesting. You don't have like beautiful houses and apartments there in Chevron, and you should lie and forget about it, right? In Chevron, it's very posh, very simple. Everyone. So he gives over a cave, a double cave, some land for a tremendous amount of money. Ephron walked away and thought, I just got the best deal in the world. I ripped off the other side. So Avram and Ephron, sometimes you have a deal and afterwards one person overthinks, oh man, I got ripped off and it didn't go well. Here you have both sides thought they got the greatest deal in the world. So to each and every one of you, that through the emunah that you're going to have, through the ayin tov that you have, through this topic, Spamuat, that which was machriz already, that which was called out already, and you believe that, that you should be to find soon. And when you find that person, you should be to stand underneath your chuppah. And when you're standing underneath your chuppah, you should both be zocha, the chasin and the kala, to be thinking to themselves, each and every one of you, I just got the greatest deal in the world. I just got the greatest deal in the world. And if you have that emunah, and you look for someone that's giving nonstop, and you know that it's machros from their bone shalom, how could you not? So Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we should all be zoicha. We should be zoicha to simcha and bracha. Everybody here should be zoicha to find their basherts. full of Ava, full of Reyes. Reyes, don't forget that. Again, you know, it's amazing. Underneath the chuppah, Be'ez Hashem, one day, every one of you, you have Sheva Brachos. The sixth of the Sheva Brachos is Sameach Tisamach, which is this, like, enormous happiness, right? Double Hashem Simcha. Reyim Ahuvim. Ahuvim are those who are in love. So you'll think you're in love. You won't know what love is yet. You'll learn that over years, but you'll think you're in love. That's beautiful. But Rav Dessler tells us what it really means, Ahava. Ahava is Hav, right? It means you found someone that you want to give to, like we spoke about, and who wants to give to you. That's Ahava. The non-stop giving to each other. But before you got to Ahuvim, what was first? Reim. Under your chuppah, you talk about the friendship. You want to find someone who's your best friend. That's your biggest avoid. Just find someone who will be your best friend. Be best friends. And that you have Ahava. And some of the, you'll stand in the chuppah and feel you got the greatest, greatest, greatest deal in the world. V'zoich and all to Simcha and Bracha. V'zoich and the schus of learning Torah, learning about Kicha, Kicha, Mr. Afron. You should be zoich and the Kayim Kicha, Mr. Afron, Bekarov. V'zoich and Simcha for all of you, for all of Klais, for all. We should be zoich and to be together, everybody, you know, right now, the Baruchos are heading to Hebron. We should all be zoich and to be there, being dancing, not to visit the Kvarim of Arvitz of Yaakov. With Tzchis HaMesim, with Gula Shleim, with Mishal Tekenu, and Hera B'Yameinu. And you have a good Vach, and we'll continue in a few weeks.